came out all the time, and I went to the church. And at that time, it was a nice little place, and they had a water tower. They had the street lights. Mm-hmm. It was incorporated. Mm-hmm. Now, I read an article in the Oregon Journal once that some man put in, and he said that it was the first planned city in Oregon. Mm-hmm. But whether it was or not, I've never been able to prove it. And when mm-hmm. I asked the historical society, they didn't know. Mm-hmm. But he did put it in there because he was talking about Somerset West was being started. Mm-hmm. And it was laid out with trees. I wish I could take you over to church because we had our 70th anniversary a year ago in May. Mm-hmm. And I was on the committee for it, and somebody, they said, what do we need? And I said, well, I think it'd be nice to have a banner. And they said, what on? And I said, just with the dates, you know, so-and-so, mm-hmm. so-and-so. But, you know, that ended up, it's really an unusual one, because somebody, well, there's the church, and there's the school that was right, but those plates, you can see them on the wall there. But this man, who's a commercial artist, was going to our church. He sketched the church, and then, of course, the school is there. But anyway, when they did it, he enlarged that about this much, you know. And that's in the center of this big, huge banner, about six. It's about 7 by 12, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle is the church, and then all around is all the church things, not like the Bible and Christian Endeavor, mm-hmm. and the different circles we've had, mm-hmm. and all that. And it's done in many colors. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom, then it's scalloped, and there's four scallops. And it's the leaves on the trees that are planted on the streets. Oh, so this is a nursery town. So the streets are elm and birch and oak. All each leaf is there in Bird Garden.
Oh,
and it's really unusual, you know. And and I said, well, you know, it's just like the Bible and magic, you know. You say there should be a banner, and this is what comes out of it. Yeah. You know, really something.
Does the church have the banner now?
Yes, it's there. Same, you know, church. And
We went to the church and looked through some stuff, some old magazines and clippings.
You mean up over here?
Yeah.
Oh, who let you in?
The pastor did.
Oh, Stan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When was this? Today?
No, it was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Did you see the viewer then? Did you notice the banner hanging down the front?
No.
On the right side of the altar? Yeah, it hangs down there.
We just went in the, we didn't go into the altar, but we just went into the, maybe a consultation room or something.
I know, you went in the office.
Yeah.
Well, the library's off that, and the viewer's in that. And there's, we have, like, the cost of the church was less than $8,000. And it was funded with a $1,000 loan. In those days, you know, what you call your mainline churches, which, mm-hmm. what I'm saying that is, the, Presbyterian, the Congregational, all those churches, if you'd start a church, they would give you money, and then it was that kind of church, and they give us $1,000, which seems like not much, but when you know the church didn't cost all furnished $8,000, mm-hmm. that was like, nowadays church is going to cost $300,000, that would be a lot of money, mm-hmm. and that's called ecclesiastical loan, never has to be paid back.
Mm-hmm.
But they own it, and then if we ever did go out, well, we'd have to pay back, I suppose, with interest, which would be a lot of money, wouldn't it? But they built the mass, too. It's kind of funny, I have all those bells in that here, and mm-hmm. the bell, it has a bell, mm-hmm. and it said $50 tuned to A.
Oh.
And it's quite interesting when you know what went on. This nursery company came in here. They were two Canadians, thought they were. They were Canadian Presbyterians, and mm-hmm. they first were out of Oregon City, and then they were
just the one here, you know. Just
like this. How big of a role did the church play in Orenco while the nursery was still going on?
Well, the nursery started about 1904 or 5,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing they did, then they got the train to come through here, the mm-hmm. large electric.
So the train was, it wasn't coming through.
It started coming through. And then they used to go to school, out to shoot school. If you went out on Cornell and down mm-hmm. just a few feet, it was about like 4 blocks, then Shoot Road, it's called, goes straight through over to Evergreen, I guess.
or maybe it's the road past the mission in the school. Is that it?
Helvetia.
And there were the children from way over here by Greenville, and all of them at that school. Now, when the Zarenko came in, there were so many people came in. So they were too many, and so they were going to build a big school. And they said, no, we're not going to take all our kids and have make them walk over there a mile and a half to school, you know. So they, in the middle of the year, I never did find it when the war was on. I never could find out. I went to Fort Ossoff, but there's no record of it. But it must have been in mid-year. And so they used a tent, and they, for all that rest of that year, they had school in a tent. And just with the just canvas.
Where was that point? So
they said it, yeah, and it was down, they,
was built?
Ellen Pittman and someone that knows, say they, and Greenberger thinks it was where the filling station was, the little filling station was.
Oh,
And
so you put it from the fire.
The next fall, they put boards around the bottom part of the tent, but it still had the canvas top. And they said on the real rainy days, they had to have umbrellas over their heads to study. And I was going to write an article paper about Glencoe. They were making such a fuss about Glencoe being an ugly school and couldn't find into it. And I was going to say, well, Glencoe's for school. They had whole umbrellas
over
And but that was how it started. And then there were nine different denominations of people. In the town. Lots of Hungarians, and most of them are Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from Hungary just to work in the nurseries because that's the kind of work they did there. And all any number of their families around here are from that stock.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a little Hungarian church here on the corner. And the fourth house down the road is made out of that little church. They moved it on the logs down the road and then they've added a back on it. But that front of that house, you know, where...
It's on the corner of 216th and Potomac.
In front of Susie's, that little house Susie first lived in. That was in the Baptist church. And they never could afford a minister very often. I guess it just came occasionally, but they'd have, you know, services.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said Mr. Rich, who was the manager for the nursery, you know, the rich nursery
mm-hmm.
people. You may see an article in the paper about the rich nursery people.
Yeah, one of the... Once more, we're just going to talk to Mr. Rich.
Mm-hmm. Well, when his father, Sam's father, or Amos's
mm-hmm.
father, which I would talk to, Chris, he had a large home. So then on Sunday afternoon, if the people wanted, anyone that wanted to, could go to their home. And they would just sing songs and pray. And, you know, we were talking, I don't know if you know about talking in tongues, or if you talk in tongues, you know, people do. Well, one of the men around here who was a Hungarian, or the son of one of the Hungarian families, asked me about talking in tongues, and I asked him what he thought it was, and he said, well, they'd go to Mr. Rich's, and the Swiss would pray in Swiss, and the Germans would pray in German, and French would pray in French, and there were every kind of nationality. Not only that, there were lots of tramps in those days. When I first came out here, the railroad still went by, and there was just nothing to find a tramp at your door wanting a handout. And especially those along like Face Oval, they were always speaking
mm-hmm.
people. These tramps would come in here and they'd be around for a certain time and they'd work enough of the nursery to get a little steak and then they'd go on. And the town was fixed, so they all these acreages, because yours have been no liquor on the place.
Yes, and no raising pigs.
Well, no, yours has it. Mine doesn't have that. That was put in, somebody had pigs at the creek and they didn't want to make them mad, and so they, when they sold around, then they said couldn't have any pigs at the creek.
Oh no.
Now that's not in my view, but it's, yeah,
not everybody.
But it's only been in the last 12 years that they've been able to sell a liquor in a regular.
Mm-hmm.
The way they got it was a permit for the golf course.
Oh.
But that's why, because these tramps come in. They didn't want to be able to get liquor.
Mm-hmm.
They might have just, they had a jail, they had a constable. I remember the city hall, you know where Evelyn Cross is?
Mm-hmm.
That was made out of city hall, and that's where it sat. It never was painted, the whole thing. It was tall, it was two-story. The bottom part, they had the fire trucks, I mean the fire they were carts, and they had, as I remember, they had like, it must have been brass hooks, and there were buckets on them. And when we had the celebration 2 years ago, I got a hold of one, and he came out from Portland, he lives in Union Manor, and he's 92 years old. And he said, I was a farmer. He says, the ones who are farming, the ones who could run the fastest. They rang the bells, and then any, they were the farmers. And they would pass the buckets along, you know, and put the fires out. But they did have hydrants, and they did have water. And they had a big water tower across the creek. They had a nursery building, two acres of nursery, undercover, a big building, a packing shed.
Yeah, where was that at?
Right across from this railroad that you bought.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. And,
Well, wasn't the railroad station right there, too, wasn't
yes,
it?
And it yes, it, yes, Catacombs was the railroad station.
Yeah, unaltered.
It's still here. You know where the railroad station is? Beside where, you know, as you go up the hill out of there, for Mrs. Robson in the corner. That next house is a bachelor list. And he goes to First Baptist Church in Hillsboro, and he's always got a bunch of boys around. And he makes... Oh, what's he called? Jungle jeeps, he calls them. They both swim, they both float, and you can drive them.
Oh.
And he's interested in the Wycliffe translators down in South America, and every other year he takes one of those down there. He gets, I guess sometimes he drives them, but Robson's have driven them down to Miami, and then he's flown down. He is a bachelor, he makes so much money that it pays him to lay off 3 or 4 months a year. Income tax, and then he goes down there. And he's real interesting. He's made trucks, and he's got all kinds of weapons and everything. But that's the way he does his work. And then all the kids are crazy to work on the jungle buses.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And, but anyway, I'm going to say that they laid the town out, and they had a constable. They had just about everything. They needed a church. And so Bellevue had no cars. Wooden sidewalks, gray sidewalks, clear up to 206, and down to baseline, off of 231st. It was really made 5x6 blocks, is what it was made. And then all these little outlying areas were laid off in 5-acre plots. And they would sell them, and people would raise pigs and eggs and cows, and they sell butter and cream and cottage cheese and things to the people in town. It was pretty self-sufficient. But everybody had trees. You don't have trees on your place because that was pasture. No.
But Knutson's had trees on their property that were just hundreds of years old.
That's right.
Some of the only certain kind of, but one of the few in the whole country, I guess, that was still growing Knutson's place.
Mm-hmm. One year here about, well, Hunt Carroll was still here 4 or 5 years ago, maybe more. A man called me from Historical Society, and he wanted to let the word around the ranch go, but not put it in the paper, for people to come down to South Island to buy the Howell House. Have you guys heard of buy the Howell House?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a down there by the Howell, and I don't know which is Bybee's house or Howell's house. They were two men who came from the south and bringing their slaves with them. And built on Sophie's Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy ran out of money. And he went down to Goldfields and made money to finish it up. And the house is there just like they live in. It's a two-story home. And it's real interesting. And it's furnished like it was then.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a place for the slaves, you know. And the kitchen, they cooked in a fireplace. And it's just real interesting. And that's where the Historical Society has their farm. They have their agriculture part of the Historical Society. So when McDonald, he was president of the nursery, he only had a daughter and she never married. When she died here about 11, 12 years ago, she left all her material to the Historical Society. But she left her money. She left it to my church and First Presbyterian Hotel, but she found here. And that's how come it's Presbyterian, is because these two people each gave $1,000, the two heads and horses.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got down there, we went down to Bobby Hall House, but they, and then they told me that I could get this material that Miss McDonald left at the Historical Society, and it never ever appeared. When it did, it was mostly bills and payments.
Yeah.
Now, the nursery went out of business for one reason, and one reason only, they overextended on trees. See, Oregon was building, there were farms coming in, and everybody put in a big orchard. They didn't just have three or four trees, they had everything. They had cherries, they just put everything. And they sent all over the world. They shipped all over the world, just like riches do now.
I was doing some Montana history and studying, you know, that history project with my husband's family, and at one point ran across where they had shipped to Riches or Renko Nursery Company for some trees for Montana, which was interesting.
Well, McGill finally pulled out, and then of course it just got worse and worse and worse. And the time I first came in 1928 out here to visit, I really fell in love with the place. It was pretty with all the trees and their houses were filled.
What was the population?
Well, it seems to me like I think there were around 2,000 people, if I'm right on it. I got some material here, but that little thing we made of the paper. There was a Renko Herald was published the first day of January in 1914, and we found that old yellow paper, and it's mimeographed and everything, but I'm not able to get it out of where I've got it put. There's one for church though, and that gives a lot of that information. And you have a copy of that, Chad?
No. The Renko Herald, was it published here in Renko?
And 5 cents a copy. But how many times they copied it, I don't know.
In 1914?
And it said on the front page of the article, it was a place for many, many denominations, many religions, and happy bouncing babies.
Oh.
So that's it.
Well, they had the newspaper right in the Renko.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, they had a druggist, they had a pharmacy, they had a hotel, they had two or three boarding houses. They just had about everything. When I came here, there was no constable anymore. There was nobody like that. But Mr. Carnes, you know, that used to sell the cows. If kids weren't behaved, they'd probably say, "We'll just have Mr. Carnes come over." And that, you know, they just scared them. Everybody scared them of Mr. Carnes.
Community.
Yeah. And I know, I remember growing up, we used to build at that hall, you know, and I grew up and peeking the windows at this barred window. But I never knew the long place it was. It was only one room. I don't know if they ever had more than one person at the time in there or not. Never heard they ever had any trouble or anything. And, but it was a nice place to live, and the church had things. With the Oregon Electric, people didn't have cars, but they played games. People came to Portland and played basketball in school gym, and they had people came to play ball, you know, on the Oregon Electric. And it was real funny. I went up to the Argus and went through the files, you know, and they had, if they wrote a wedding up, you should have seen how they wrote them up, you know. The upstanding bridegroom, you know, wearing so-and-so, and the bride, you know, and they never had their pictures together. It was just real comical, you know, how they wrote it up.
We were reading that Hillsborough article. They just tell everything, you know, who was sick and what they had at parties, you know, what they ate,
and everything. Yeah, it was really
there wasn't that much news, so they just put in everything.
And the ads were on each side of the page. There were little ads up and down each side of the page, you know. And you can't get any pictures because they didn't take pictures. They didn't take pictures, that's all. And they'd say, Sunday afternoon, Judge so-and-so and his wife and his stepdaughter visited somebody in Cornelius
for a couple hours,
you know.
I was really glad to see that they had done that when I started that history project, because then you can go back to these old newspapers, microfilm, you know, newspapers from Montana. And you can read all about these old families and every little intimate thing, you know, what they had for dinner.
Well, when I was in high school in Missouri, there was a fellow in the neighborhood who didn't go on to school. I think even finished the fourth grade. But he was always telling big quacks, you know, and he never really could believe, you know, whether he was really telling the truth or not. And he was laughable, he was fun. I know one time we were skating on the river, ice skating, and we'd bake a fire, you know, and stand around it, but then we'd always go to somebody's house and have cocoa or cider and something when we went home. And that night, he and his brother stayed put fire out. And after being, he'd come running up, and he says, Clark fell on his helm ice, and he's unconscious. So everyone, ha, 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 that's funny. But Clark was. He was in the hospital.
Well, so incredible.
But anyway, do you know what he became?
Doctor.
No, he didn't become a doctor. He became a school bus driver and slaughtered hogs. He had a slaughterhouse, they wrote a Savannah Reporter from Princeton, about 10, 15 years ago. Roger Boyles was the most loved school bus driver in the country. I guess he just told these kids these tall tales, you know, and they loved it. But later on, of all things, he's writing for the paper. And he wrote for Resnell, and it was really funny. So-and-so come to stay all the night, you know, with their brother and sister-in-law. And then the next time would be they and somebody went and had dinner, or they just did for a couple hours in the afternoon and stuff. And they're still doing that. Mm-hmm. You're still putting that kind of thing in. Mm-hmm. Here you can't ever put anything in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just
so much that you don't want to read that's in there.
Yes, that's right. We're having a real fight about it. Kind of. Anyway, it's really, really was interesting, though, in this town and the people that there's not too many. Dr. Pittman, Emerson's wife, his wife, she was born up here. Around 2006, and she's the only one left to think that and she knows a lot about it. But I don't think she wants to be interviewed anymore.
Yeah.
She lost her daughter, and I think it just got her when Nan died. And when Nana was born with a bad heart, and she finally died of a heart attack, and it just seems like it really get Ellen more than even doctor. You know, I guess he knew about it. Mm-hmm. I think when you've had it, and the girl was over 50, and all her life they expect her to go, why it must have been almost a release, you know. Mm-hmm. And Francis Vandenberg knows too, but he can't tell you. He's had stroke, so he don't get much out of him. But I guess Sam Rich is another, was a good one. Julia Logan.
Also, we're going to talk to Mrs. Rush. Violet Rush.
That's Dr. Pittman's sister. She's an awful nice lady. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. Violet Rush, as far as I know, never lived in a rent. Uh-huh. Did somebody give you her name?
The man at the museum.
Oh. Well, they lived up in the hills, or up out of Hillsborough. But he went to school in Hillsborough. Mm-hmm. Dr. Pittman worked during his high school years for a Dr. Smith in Hillsborough. In fact, there's been, you know that building they tore down in Hillsborough last summer? They were so angry about the people said they didn't know they were doing it. The hospital bought it, and they intend to use it. I think what they want to use it for is for someone to take care of the children of the workers. But it was a big old house, and it was a hospital during World War II, and then it became a restaurant. And then they just simply knocked it out. Beautiful woodwork, everything. It's a shame that they didn't let somebody get it, you know. Anyway, they didn't. And they came down to Senior Center and asked us if we wanted to use the land. And they could make courts of different kinds. And it's just a block from the center, but we didn't take it. But anyway, he worked for him, and he was a young man, and the doctor didn't have time to drive a car, so he drove his car. And I guess Dr. Pittman went in the service at age 16. He was underage in World War I, and he got his hip hurt, and he got his schooling. That's how it went. But Mrs. Rush is nice, but I don't think she's been married. If she was, I never understood it that they ever were. But she does live on between here and there.
She might just know some of the history or something.
Maybe. Well, one of your best kids would be Julia Logan in Hillsborough. Mrs. Otto.
She's still alive?
Yes. She lives up by the old high school right across from it. She really knows it.
Okay.
And you tell her, I bet your phone book and I can get you the address.
Okay.
But it's Mrs. Otto Logan. There's three Logan. There's Ernie and there's Dr. Logan, and that's her sons. Mm-hmm. And Otto.
The body. You should write the name down.
I think they live on 6th.
I think we have it.
Yeah, we do.
I'm going to see what probably be your best bet.
Yeah, the museum gave it to
the museum. I think they did it. They asked for it in the whole history on
that. Yeah, they have it. They've taped a lot of this. Now, I didn't know. I know a lot because my husband in 1990 got intense interest in it. That's how I
has the best memory.
Yes. Oh, you ought to hear my sister. She says I'm wrong. I shouldn't date things, but when people died or when they had a baby, She never mentioned these things. I don't know how else you remember anything unless you engage it to something. Do you? You know.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you do it. That's how I learned to do it.
What are you girls doing the report for?
It's for two things. One's for our history class at school and for the
ESD.
The ESD, his
Educational Service District,
is wanted some students to do some histories on things around Washington County. For the
Washington County Historical Society and Museum.
Well, they did a good study at Brown. Now, what's that teacher's name? You've already got pictures of.
Yes, he's now over at, at Brown, yeah. Over here.
Is he still at Brown?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pat Davis would know. I can't remember his name.
He did that, and he had gotten a lot through the library. If you go up the library, you can get pictures for it. I still want to go up and get some of those big pictures. But I'm sorry, if you go back to the church and ask them, mm-hmm. he'll let you see the viewer. Tell him I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I'm a historian, but I'm just not very historical. And we have a lot of pictures in there, but we can get larger ones. You know, the ones he goes, this man had a project for the kids, and they had done it. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they got all the material. And he loaned me some things that I used for that because we didn't have time to do it by the time we got.
Yeah.
Didn't realize it was such a big thing until we got into it.
Yeah. Have they seen any of the old newspapers?
Yeah. We've seen a lot of them. Uh-huh. Yeah, we've taken some pictures.
No, I'm doing dishes. Should have done 2 hours ago.
I have quite a few of the old newspapers. We own that old store in the Renfro now.
I haven't seen them. I haven't seen any old newspapers.
Yes, the ones that we had at the church and stuff that we started gathering for that.
Oh, you found some more of those.
Well, it's the ones that we had for the church thing.
Is there any like map or anything that would show the old layout of the town? Like where
yes, there is, and that's in that viewer.
There it is.
Yes, you could get it out of
the
viewer.
Because that's what the guy. There's two guys that are in our group that are drawing up a map of the town and need to know where the
yes. Oh.
Is where the town is now? Is that where most of the buildings were?
It's just like it always was.
What were some of the businesses that were in the town?
Well, you know where the church is. You was at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you went up to the railroad track,
mm-hmm.
The house on the corner there is sitting on top of the old hotel. It's on the foundation of that old hotel.
The greenhouse?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is it green on the
corner? I don't think it's green.
It's Mr.
It's a fairly modern house.
Oh, okay. It's right on the corner. Oh, yeah.
There's a house right across.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were the viewer, you'd see pictures. We've got the smaller pictures in there, and it shows the town. Now, somebody had evidently been up in the school, and up in the top, going to school, mm-hmm. and they took a picture right kind of formed across. That's before the church was even there.
Mm-hmm.
But it does show that house right across from the church, that directly across mm-hmm. as you come out. Mm-hmm. Shows it. And then it went toward across Catacorn to show both the store buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And that one store building in the middle of the block, this man that owns the house in the corner works on cars.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a place there and he rents apartments in there. Now, that was right across the railroad track from the depot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the post office was never, there is a post office, a little post office. And that little post office was put in, though, in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they always sat in one stores. And it was a star route, and it was the deliver. People had their boxes there. And then they could, the twice a day, and then they came out and brought mail and gave them. And then once in the afternoon, they took it, went up and got mail and brought it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a long time. And they lost that at the time that man that you bought of bought the building. That's when they lost the mail route, because he didn't take it up in time. In fact, they said we couldn't have it, and then so many people were furious about it, because a lot of people got mail that, but out in the country, they didn't want people with mail put in their mailbox, and so they just rent boxes there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he had paid some money down, and he went away for a month and didn't come back. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, they gave us a deadline, you know, and he didn't come back and pick it up. And it's a shame because Mrs. Davis could just as well have had that down at the filling station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of nice. Everybody gathered there. And when the train came in, everybody gathered there.
Oh.
And they used the school, and they had a gym built there. One time, my husband said they had a Christian endeavor, and the boys were there, and there were some of the younger men there. And the school board members came over and they said, "We need a gym, and we've got some money. But if you'll build the gym, then you can always play in the gym." Mm-hmm. So they all got in and built the gym, and about 2 years later, they closed it up. Nobody can use the gym but the students.
Oh.
So one of the fellows that moved to Portland at that time, that he'd come out, and he had listed every man's name and every hour he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Okay, close it up the well, but you're going to pay us the money yeah. you asked." And they didn't close it up. Mm-hmm. They didn't close up this time.
Well, that was still here when we came.
Yes.
In fact, they tore it down, what, about 74 or so?
They tore it down when Brad was 21.
Yeah,
tore it down when Brad was 6. So I guess it's 6 and 21 would be 15, wouldn't it? Yeah, about 15 years ago, something like that.
I don't think so, because we came in 1970 and the old gym was still there. Then.
You're right. The gym stayed after
yes.
school went. The school went.
Yes.
And they kind of left it there,
and
they wanted to know if we wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And the water was there. I don't know why we didn't kick it up. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But the kids got so angry.
They said there was vandalism and everything, so they tore it down. But I think it was about 73 that they tore it down.
We also had a city park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down, you know where the golf course was.
Mm-hmm.
You went, you know, down the golf
mm-hmm.
course. There was, that was all city park along when you left that church and that building
oh.
beside the
mm-hmm.
church. It was the banks that's owned
there.
By the church. And that went down. Now, there's funny. In some of the things I read, they said that the church was going to see the city fathers about building a shed, you know, to put the horses in when they came to church, or any people from the town, they could
yeah.
put their horses in under shelter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never did see anything that they ever made it, but then they did. And Mrs. Jack Rogers, who died a couple of years ago, his husband came in from Canada to work in the nursery, and they found Mr.
Oh, yeah, we walked around it and stuff.
The
house,
yeah. Right on the golf course?
Yes, that big house.
They would probably let you go in and look at that.
Well, we went down there and the lady there said that we have to go to the Elks Club.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't think so.
I could talk to Rich. It's probably his wife that you talk to, right?
The Riches live there?
No, a fellow named Rich Halen
yeah.
is the golf pro. Mm-hmm. He lives there.
Doesn't she have a sick baby or something?
Yes.
Yeah, she's
but,
got
that's
I doubt it. Well, see, it's been divided, and there's people upstairs and then downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, and it was suites and rooms, and it was built with sliding doors, which is perfect. I think it's very in the Pittock Mansion myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the Pittock Mansion is beautiful, but it's not like a home. It just is.
Yeah.
It was built with these big sliding doors, and the noises were just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. The parquet floors, the one bought from New York, it's
mm-hmm.
just gorgeous. Now, I asked Mr. Brown, who bought it and started the golf course, why on earth did they have that? He said they didn't have anything else to put their money on. They'd have horses and carriages,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd have houses. And
well, I keep hearing these rumors that it will be torn down. Do you suppose that's true?
That house?
Yes.
Who's going to tear it down?
Well, when the Elks build this new thing that they're talking about over here, you know, that they would tear the house down.
Why would they tear it down? They don't mean to build over there. They mean to build up here, don't they?
I hear yeah. that all the time.
Well, it'd be crime. I tell
really
you, the human man
that.
Is worth more than they could get a mint for that
yes.
money for that thing. It's beautifully built and it's curved ceilings and
mm-hmm.
it was hand painted from China, you know, and it's just beautiful. And
mm-hmm.
they had just a daughter, and downstairs was a master bedroom
mm-hmm.
and with a huge bath. I don't know, as big as a room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got foot bath and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Little Parker
and like that.
Then there's another, a darling little sweet room's bath and bedroom, just beautiful, with a little only fireplace. That was a daughter's.
Mm-hmm.
And then on beyond that is hall, and then there's another bedroom and a bath and shower, and that was for the mother, an invalid mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then upstairs, I really can't tell you how many suites rooms there were. There were just whole suites, because mm-hmm. in those days, when people came to visit you, they stayed for yeah. another day. They yeah. And it was really, you know, something. I worked there the year my husband died, 27 years ago. Vance had bought it, and she was a bookkeeper, the only bookkeeper the hospital had, it was smaller. So my son had just loved to play golf. It was very interesting to him, and he'd go over, and he was always pedaling around, and he got him to starting people off playing and like that. And she kept saying, is there anyone that'll do housework that you can rely on? And I know he didn't have anybody. He's asked my mother, she knows everybody. Well, I didn't know anybody. So finally my son said, why don't you do it? And I said, I don't want to do it. And
yeah.
then I got to thinking, I'd always wanted to see that house and how much better I could do that. She and her daughter, she had four daughters and a son, and they were all married, and it was a second marriage, and he had a daughter and son. So when her parents' kids would come, you know, she'd have it opened up there. And one day she said, she came home and she said, oh, don't go now. I want you to clean the three rooms, or two suites rooms it was. She said, it's got to be, you know, dusted and cleaned out, and the bathroom's gotten ready. She took me up there, and I didn't get out of there for the longest time. I couldn't find my way out. Well, you'd go out, and there's a hall or another room, and what it was, you come up from that front hall, you went up steps, and then it turned, and it went up to a landing. And on either side of the landing, there were two, it was a wide space, two big steps, you know, out of your way. And then that hall went around, but outside of that was sleeping porches and things.
Oh, my. Just kept going.
I later went back when the Rubies had it, and Carson went upstairs, and the Rubies, Mr. Ruby was her, Miss Carson's brother, and the Carsons, he was a professional man, and he never, you know, she had never worked anything. Now, come out here and invest in this with us, and we're just going to make a killing. So here she come, and here was little Miss Carson, was kind of a chubby little lady, and about in her 50s, but she never worked. Well, she just puffed and padded, because she had to work in the pro shop every other morning, and then for 2 hours, they both work. So I worked 4 hours for her, and one week, and 4 hours for Mrs. Rubin. It was fun, because they had antiques all over the place. But I never will forget her, because, poor thing, you know, she just wasn't used to that. But she had changed it. They made a diamond out of one of the bedrooms. They made a parlor of another. There were seven fireplaces on it.
Oh, my gosh.
They were real pretty. And they had electric organ, and, you know, like the Browns could play that organ. When Browns were there, it was really funny. She was always buying antiques, but I learned to never touch anything new, because it might take hold of it, like all the pieces. Just wasn't glued together right. She set it up there, but hadn't glued it together. She also was taking cake decorating, because she thought they were going to start a eating place. But they found out they can't do it in a big one, you know. And so they never did do that. They just blocked it off and served sandwiches and drinks downstairs. And they didn't serve liquor. He didn't want to. He said that people take the liquor along with them, and they throw the bottles down and cuss the balls. I guess that probably is true. I don't know. But he never wanted it. And I quit there because he got to drinking so heavy in the winter, and he was quite wondering. He wanted to give me all the ivy off the house.
Oh, shit.
No, he'd get to crying because he felt so sorry my husband had been killed, you know. He was a real nice man, you know. He was a gourmet cook in hot foods, and she was a gourmet cook on salads and beautiful things. And you didn't, you know, she just had all these things drying, like wedding meals, a half a wedding meal, half them, and she dry them and stick them together, you know, and you just didn't dare touch a thing. You sure couldn't dust them. And then they didn't have a toilet, you know, they had come inside the toilets, and you always let the ladies come in the house. And of course, they all wanted to come in and see it. You can't blame them, you know. And I'd be working, couldn't hear a thing, you know, in that house. It was built so solid and all carpeted and everything. And I stopped back, and here was a couple of ladies peering around, you know. It just got me so nervous, I think.
The golfing ladies, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he fell on my
head. Now that's something from that's gone from the new to the old, because boy, those bathrooms they have sitting out there on the course now are.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they have some old outhouses out on the course.
Oh, that's
they've just built some new ones, but they're still outhouses.
That's what we use now.
That.
I didn't know they had. I don't know. I just knew it. Now, I never did see that after the movies came there. There must have been toilets at the pro shop.
There's toilets at the pro shop, yes. There's bathrooms, an indoor bathroom, but they're very silent.
Now, when the school was there, they had fairs here, and I was so surprised. I found out they had just like a county fair, and they gave prizes, and it cost you 50 cents to take a flock of six chickens in to show, and, 50 cents each bunch of six chickens. Now, the school kids every year made gardens, and they made them, and of course, there weren't see these trees that you see.
Yeah.
We were really surprised at the old pictures. They're just little fir trees. They weren't like this at all. However, in 1925, when I first came here, and until in the 30s, this was a big woods across here, up to this road.
The golf course?
Just, no, up to the house, up to that fence where the house is.
Oh.
And he finally logged off the big trees, and it was, well, when my husband died in 1952, they were blasting the stumps out. Well, there was a whole hunk of stuff that come out of it. And they cleaned it out. It took them a long time to get it, ready for golf course.
Yeah.
And they had cattle in there a long time, and boy, did we have dogs. They'd feed them up. They'd come up here and feed them right across here. But the school kids would make the school gardens, and they planted flowers in such a way it spelled a rainbow in the year. There's pictures of that. Now, I don't have any, but I've seen those pictures in something. Oh, well, it was in that book of paper that we saw them. And I guess the people like to come on the train, so they'd all come on this side of the train to see it,
And well, Florence, was the main street of Orenco then was Alder Street, huh? That was the main street. Where was the pharmacy?
The pharmacy was in that middle, the one that Mr. Sharp has, the store building that Mr. Sharp has.
Oh.
That was the pharmacy. And Dr. Cunningham was there, and there was also a man there from Canada. And they liked him very much, but he had a child that was retarded when they didn't go back, because they said the child could become a public charge. And they all said it was because the doctors were jealous of him. He's such a wonderful doctor. I remember that was talking about it in my time. Now, they used to have spelling bees, and they just had everything. It was really nice. I noticed I have a lot of material in that viewer about the Olympic chorus. I think it was the Olympic chorus. Anyway, it was a male chorus. They came up in front once a year and put on a program.
So they had quite a few social
events. They had
cultural
things.
Was it you that told me that they used to roller skate up in the upstairs of our old building, the store?
I didn't know, but I don't say we did. They had dances up there.
Yeah, somebody told us that they used to roller skate up there.
I remember one of the first things I went to here, there was a man that ran that store, and his wife was nice, and he was the crabbiest man anybody ever saw. She was a real sweet person. So they sold the store, and people went to tell him farewell, and they had a party. And it really was some party, we all took something to eat, but he got a little drink or two, I guess, and he went down and he broke out all kinds of bologna and cookies and everything. And then he made his speech. And he said, "Folks," he says, "if you'd all turned out to trade with me like you did at this party, I wouldn't be leaving." Forget it. There's a lot of funny things went on. But they had regular dances there, I guess. I never went to any of them because I didn't dance that much, but they did have dances, and they had shiveries, shiveries in those days and everything. You know what a shivery was?
Not really.
It's like a wedding reception, what they call wedding reception.
Well, then they come in at night in your sleep and begin to bang on
things.
So were there a lot of social events down the town?
I think they did. Yeah, they had a lot of things. Well, and the church was built in 19... actually, they started June the 9th, 1979, but it really wasn't really built for about a year, but that's when it was organized over the spare building on the corner that she owns now. And they built the building, got that built, and then the school was built before the church. And in a short time, because it shows up, there's no showing. Yeah. And
what year was the church built? You said 1979.
1999. Mm-hmm. 1999. And that's when it was organized. Yeah. And they got in and they built it. But it was funny when it was built, you know, they had a, well, one of the things when they get the minister, he had a money given him for the horse and buggy, you know. He had a horse and buggy, mm-hmm. and they bought him so much money so he'd have a horse and buggy. And it was just different than it is now. Now, mm-hmm. there wasn't that when I came here. In fact, nobody had a car, a horse, and buggy or anything else. And it was just that they just walked down and rode on the train. They had
train was your main...
Yeah, the train was the main thing.
Didn't you tell me, though, that you used to go into Portland with your parents with a horse and buggy or something?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, I it's probably somebody might have, but not me. Yeah.
It took a half a day or something like that to
I'm sure it did.
There.
When I came out here in the fall at Cal Narner in 1928, you couldn't get up this road to 16th. You couldn't get up the corner from the bridge hardly in the bad weather. And there were deep ruts in the road like that. So I'll tell you how we came out here. We came out of Portland. We went up by Mendel's, you know, to go up there. And, you want to, and just write the number down, will you? But they were putting, the year I married him, they put the Canyon Road in, the new road. And that's why we had to run. But then we came to Reedville, and then we came down and then turned the other way and went in Renfrew on baseline.
Okay.
And then it came to Renfrew. Now, if you girls been in Renfrew, how'd you like our roads?
Oh, yeah, those are nice.
They're different.
Well, I'll tell
Washington
you.
Washington County.
I'll tell you why they are. That Renfrew was incorporated. And so the streets belonged to the people on those houses. Those people in those houses on the streets. Who was it?
Betty.
Yeah.
She, that's what we call that.
Yeah. Thanks, Carol. Yeah. When the streets were incorporated, and I guess the town probably kept them up. I don't know who kept them up. But after the incorporation went out, probably 1932 or 33, then they would, when they'd get real bad, they'd ask the county, and they just came in and did it. They didn't charge anything for it. Now, they did that so they got kind of short of funds and then stopped doing it. And Mr. Knudsen, Mr. Knudsen, who lived over there, when the people would take the petition up and take it in. And he wouldn't sign it. He called and said, don't put it in. I don't want
the bus went down their street. You
he didn't want
it
to go
went
fast.
Down too fast.
Oh,
and he was happy to have all those big holes and ruts in the street so that the bus had to slow down. So
that's how they lost their streets. And but the
and
thing
then
is, he had peacocks and he had rabbits and things, and he wanted to run out and not get hit. See, and he's the one. I tell you, he's hated in Renfrew.
Yes.
I can't blame him. I think it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Viola started town to take Eva to the doctor yesterday, and she just got over to 231st and Birch when her tires went out. And they told her that it was from those streets.
Yeah.
It was just it's so bad.
They are. We're driving down. I just got lost in these potholes.
Did you see that article I wrote in the paper about the lady that had the baby and beat the stork? You know, went on to Helensburg on the train and had the baby.
No.
Well, I did. She told me that one time. She told me that it was her first boy, Iowa, I guess. And her husband was a man that drove the carriages and took care of the carriage horses and everything. And he'd have to exercise the horses, so he'd come and take her ride around with him. And the baby was doing a day. And in those days, there was no hospital, but some people would take you. It was called birth in place, you know. And there was a lady in Hillsborough about a block from the track that would take you. So she had arranged to go, and one evening he came to take her, and they'd had a, he always came home for dinner, so they had a big dinner, just going to have a light supper. So he said, I'll be home as soon as I take care of the horses. And of course he had to go down to the golf course, that's where they were kept. And she lived, you know, about, it was about like 3/4 mile. And he hardly got out of sight when she knew she had to go to the hospital, you know, she had to go.
Yeah.
So she told the neighbors, and the people, the man, woman, and mother lived with. So, oh, the man ran up to stop the train, which was due. Because, you know, they ran through cerebral train station in the evening and morning, so that people could go to work on. He ran up to stop them, and he grabbed a suitcase in the bed, and the wife and the mother grabbed her and drug her up there, and she got on the train, went by herself up to Hillsboro. The little boy in the family ran down to tell the husband that she'd gone.
Uh-huh.
He rushed up and he caught the next train, and she had the baby, and he caught the last train that night. I thought it'd be funny to add a little to it, so I said, you know, in those days they had the birthing places, and people are doing that now. They're mm-hmm. either having a baby at home or mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. And I said, but I am thoroughly convinced that if the puddles aren't fixed, that any time JLBC, John and Mary Doe had the 7-pound boy burn the 10th pothole off Carolina Avenue X. Didn't you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I did. I wrote the scene. That's what they want me to write, but I'm not going to do all that stuff to gain more money.
Yes.
You know, I might make some money off it.
Yeah. When was the golf course built?
Yes. He was working on the golf course when Calvin died in 1952. And I really can't tell you if he opened it up to big play. I think some owner went shot balls. And then I was trying to think, because it was open, because they were playing. He'd been opening it 2 or 3 years. It takes a long time to make the golf course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because she wanted help, and I went over there then to work in June, he died in March. Mm-hmm. So that's when it started. It wasn't too many holes. And it was rough, but when the book came out. And he, of course, never made any money on it. Anyone that makes a golf course has got to keep it a long time to really realize anything. But he had the bad heart, and fortunately, they just got the paper signed, and the next morning he died. And she died right after that, too. And we were so shocked, you know, they were young people, about as you girls say, well, they were in their early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was beautiful. But he just simply, you know, his heart was too much for his heart.
What were their names?
I just don't think the name. Brown.
Brown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was a beautiful lady. And he'd had a funeral home back in Iowa or someplace, and he just had funeral home pictures pasted all over the building. And then he'd come in and insist on me eating the food. And of course, after Cal died, I was a little nervous. My stomach got icky, you know. I couldn't eat all that hot food, you know. And it was too bad. They were nice people. I liked them. But she didn't last, I don't think, a year that I heard she died.
Mm.
But, you know, you girls play golf?
I'm learning how. My dad's teaching me.
That's my grandpa tries to get me out there. But
two of my boys morning. Bruce Harvey plays a lot. Parents likes him, but he can't just play a game and stop. He's got to keep on playing, and that makes Dorothy mad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so he stops playing. He has to play for a long time. That's why I give him some golf balls. I think the Renko was a place people like. If they go away, they always come back. You know, mm-hmm. they seem to like the Renko. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of the people are just now going. I mean, the old timers. Most of them are just going, like Kay's Burdette. She sold about 10 years ago, 18 years ago. She's 30 years old. But you can't depend on her for any years. She came here 1921, but she just doesn't remember anything about it. You know, some people.
It has such an interesting history.
It really has. And it's kind of a shame, you know, it's ideal for this to stop. And of course, we have nurseries all around here. There's Stout Nursery. It's just been sold out and made into. They're going to build there. Then there's this other Mott's, the Western Plant Nursery. That's all been pulled out and it's for sale. $300,000 if they ever sell it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was over on, I'm just trying to think, what is that? Alder. He had a nursery on 231st. And the Riches, and Mr. Sabo had a nursery. Bill's father had a nursery. They were all nurseries. Now, they got those nurseries this way, and I shouldn't tell you, but it's true. What they did was they'd burn a lot of the stuff. And the guy would take clippings and put it in their lunch pails and take all the stick it in the ground. And it grew, you know. And that's how a lot of them.
Which is really better than burning it.
Yes, you know, it was. Mm-hmm. And they have what they call a rainbow apple. If you went down to Bybee Hall House on Sophie's Island, there they have acres and acres. It's this big place. I was trying to tell you about by your house. I don't know which one built their house. Both of them built houses, but one of them was larger. And then he got into racetrack and got more interested in racehorses than living out there. There's a track there. He had his own track. Mm-hmm. So he sold. You went to Portland, there's Bybee and there's Howell and there's different ones. Those are names for him. And then the house was the Historical Society owns it. And they have started a pioneer nursery. And they have all those old trees, and some of them are from Marinko and her friend Carol Panuzza. That time that I was told to come down there, you know, and let people know, because they were teaching the Marinko apple. And that, I always thought, I have a Marinko apple. We thought that it was supposed to be down by the bar. It's a real red apple on the outside. It looks smoky colored and kind of dingy. But you just wipe it on the seat of your pants, and it just polishes up red as could be, just gleams. And inside's real white, and it's real good for cider. The man next door is a state nursery inspector, and he was awful interested. He likes that apple. He likes it, but he won't feed.
Is what you have the Renko apple?
No. No, I guess not.
But there was one on Knutson.
On Knutson.
Yes, that's what I guess.
Now, Bob Rich came over once, and he said it's not. He said, because that kept. But there was trees and orchards all around here when we came here, and they were just let run down, and people sold and they pulled them out and put in lawn and did something else with them. And a lot of those were pioneer apple trees. They say the Renko apple, there was some pioneer had brought it and it was in a cemetery over Oregon City, and that's where they got the cuttings to start that apple.
So the nursery, did that play a real important part in the town at first?
Well, that's all it was. It was just a nursery town. It was planned out, but
everybody in the town were.
They wanted a town where people didn't drink. They wanted a church town. They wanted it so that it would be self-sufficient. They even started to have. They even started to give people shares in it. They wanted their employees to have the shares and have an interest in the nursery. And they're one of the first companies that ever did that.
Then what
and
made it broke. Really go huh? What made it go broke?
Because they just stuck to fruit trees and didn't diversify and start like in shrubs and things. Mm-hmm. See, all over Oregon, people were coming in and claiming land and homesteading, you know, even then. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to have orchards, and they'd have windbreaks. But they'd plant all kinds of trees, you know, to break the wind from their homes. And the homes were tight, like, you know, built tight. And if they had, well, you can only have so many apple and pear and cherry trees, yeah. You know. And that's true. What quite went out. And it's too bad because but the other nurseries sprung up. Now, one of them was on Hamilton. You know, that's the house you watched well down here, you know, where Tally's there. That was Homison was there. Now he went from here and they had a nursery. There was still Homison nursery down on Sophie's Island. And I met Martin Homison when I first came to Vancouver, and I knew his girl in marriage. She came out of Nebraska about that time. We worked together. But they're both dead now. But they took over when the father died, the Homison nursery. And it's a huge nursery. But you see, they diversified. They had shrubs and all kinds of things so that they'd have something to sell. Mm-hmm. And it's just like today, if you went down to nursery, you wouldn't just want to buy trees.
Yeah.
And if they had just changed, and I suppose the Depression had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. You see, the Depression started coming on. In fact, I think I've always been in Depression, you know, because I started high school and, you know, I ended in 21 year and graduated in the 25 year and things began to, you couldn't get a job then hardly, and things were, Hoover came in then in 28 and it was, as I said, he said just tighten up your belts, and my husband and I started to tighten our belt. We didn't even own a belt anymore. Some people said they'd already eaten theirs. And it was a bad time because you're not going to go out and buy trees if you're hungry. You're going to buy some bread or some flour or something. And that was a bad time. And it just, if they'd have had bite hold over, and they didn't. McGill, the one that pulled out of the nursery first, he went down to Gresham. Mm-hmm. And the McGill nurses are still down there. Oh. You know, Ed Myhoff's sister, mm-hmm, only husband, he's one of the McGill said, man. You see him on TV every once in a while, explaining about plants and how to handle them. Well, that's only husband. Oh. And that's a huge nursery. It's nursery land around Gresham.
Yeah.
There's certain places there's nursery land. Mm-hmm. And it's a crime because, for example, over across Cornell, that was all that land, Ronald Acres, was all nursery. That was all in nursery stock. And can you imagine?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. And that was when we came here, my husband and I worked. He worked in Israel. We lived just for about 8 months in the little house. That house just where you go in, shut around the acres. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because some wise guys got the idea of making houses in there. They went out and laid it off into lots, acres and acres and acres of that wonderful nursery land, laid off in lots, put roads in, put street signs in. Have you ever been over in there?
There's still no, there are very few houses over in there now.
There's only two duplexes in that house. And they were put in there because he sold them that they could build. Well, they couldn't because he couldn't put septic tanks.
Oh. Too close together. That's where all the kids ride the motorcycles and stuff over there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so you can wreck a car in there. But Tommy did it as soon as he got it. But the thing of it is that man, in order to keep from getting sent to jail, he put that house at the front where there was a well. Then he goes way, or you go over a long ways, and then you turn and you go two blocks, which is an extension of 231st. And it's a swale. You just go down like you think you're in a big bowl, you know, inverted bowl, and there's that old duplex down there. And one time a friend asked me to go with her because she was delivering Christmas baskets. A woman lived there with three little kids, and she had only asked for games because she had a boy that was had been injured and had a head operation, and she wanted someone to help her. You know, she wanted to play games with him. That was part of his therapy.
Yeah.
And she also asked for sweaters, and no wonder. I tell you, Dolores and I went down there, and Dolores had raised a lot of potatoes, so she just put a box of potatoes in the car. Well, I tell you, I never, you know, I've heard of brainwashing or, you know, just evil. I just felt like it was evil down there. All that rain is pouring down, and it was just like using the bottom of a big bowl with the water coming down. And she told us that her husband had gotten out of work and that they didn't want to separate, but they separated because, see, if the husband's not with you, you get better welfare. And that on account of the boy. And they were sending her to school and trained her to be a physical dental technician.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I have to take my classes at night, and I just don't leave the kids here alone at night. And I don't blame her. She tried to transfer to Pacific where she could get an engagement. And that's the only time I was down there, only time I ever wanted to go down there. I mean, I wouldn't have even, I never was so depressed in my life as I was in that place. But see, there was water down there because it was so low, and they could get water.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. And now those places are sitting there, and you know, I think they'd like to run water, and you know what? They can't find the owners.
Mm.
You know, the owners of, they were doing that before Calvin died, more than 27 years ago. There's lots of people who bought them, they couldn't build on them, so they just kissed them goodbye and away they went. So there they sat. And you can't farm it because there's roads and signs and stuff. And they say there's more junk over there. They say that people just take all they just take the junk over there and throw it in this way. And you mire down, you can't get out. It's really something. School bus runs along there. It runs on that road going over the Everglades straight through. But it don't go down that steep hill down to that slough, you know. I don't know. I think Arinco has been a good influence on the community. We never had much trouble in the world.